The case against Jens Suhring was based on his confession to the brutal murder of Derek and Nancy Haysom. DNA technology was not yet available to police, and there was no physical evidence that proved he was the killer. An FBI-trained technician did compare Suhring's footprint with a bloody sock print at the Haysom home, but Gail Marshall, a lawyer who led Suhring's appeal, says that was pseudoscience.
He had done overlays of Jens's foot and the sock print, and he said there's significant correspondences. And the reason it sounds semi-scientific is we think of footprints and fingerprints, but that's because they're dermal ridges on your toes and on your hands, and they're pretty unique. You can't identify anything from a sock print.
In fact, looking at size, she argued the sock print was more likely left by Elizabeth. The German public also wonders about Elizabeth's mental health. She was the prosecution's star witness, but one psychiatrist described her as borderline schizophrenic and a pathological liar. Karen Steinberger, an investigative reporter for one of Germany's top newspapers, says jurors should have given more weight to the testimony of Elizabeth's half-brother, a doctor from Houston. I spoke with Steinberger at a cafe in Munich.
You know, her half-brother stated in court that Elizabeth always lied and she will always lie, and I'm pretty sure she was in the house at the time of the murder.
She was also stunned to learn that Elizabeth accused her mother of sexual abuse. Nancy Haysom, who was an artist, had taken nude photographs of her daughter, a fact dismissed by the lead detective in the case, Ricky Gardner.
She acknowledged that her mother had touched her and fondled her and tried to, you know, have a romantic relationship with her.
You don't think it's significant?
No. I mean, it's bizarre, but I mean, it doesn't link back to the murder or anything.
During an aggressive cross-examination, Elizabeth withdrew the charge, but Steinberger sees child abuse as a possible motive for the crime. She also discovered that within a week of the bloody Haysom murders, there was another killing with a knife in Roanoke. Two individuals confessed and are in prison for that crime. Legal documents indicate one told a fellow inmate that they also killed the Haysoms. But Steinberger says no one investigated that claim.
You know, killing with knives is not very usual. It is actually very hard to kill a person with a knife. All I wonder is why nobody would bother, you know, asking this question.
And finally, there are questions about the legal process. Critics in Germany are surprised that the judge in Suhring's case was a friend of the Haysom family, that he said publicly that he thought Suhring was guilty even before the trial began. Anna Utzerath, who coordinates social media for Suhring in Germany, also points out that Jens was interrogated and confessed in Britain without legal counsel.
For me, the most unfair moments are that Jens Suhring, when he was 19 years old, was held for 4 days in isolation when he was examined. In this time, he was not allowed to speak to his lawyer.
Since Suhring's trial in 1990, some new information has come to light, prompting supporters in the U.S. and Germany to call for his release. We'll look at those developments in our next report. I'm Sandy Houseman.